As you sit down, I'd love for you to open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, or turn on your phones, either or. Turn to chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, and let's begin with God's word this morning. Paul wrote, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you will also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load." That scripture verse kind of impacted me actually during our staff retreat that we had a few weeks ago. And when I think about caring for others, I'm reminded of the ride that I took this summer with Tour for Kids. And, you know, I was doing well on the ride. The first day was quite difficult for me, just regards to it being hot and being dehydrated. But the second day I was fine. I was riding with the lead group, but I ended up having some technical difficulties with my chain, and so I fell off the lead group, and then I ended up joining another group. And in that group was a couple from Ontario, and they were actually on their honeymoon doing the Tour for Kids, a 300K ride through the Rocky Mountains. Okay, now some of you guys are like, who does a honeymoon doing riding a bike, you know, 100K, 170K each day, whatever. Right? Well, hey, that'd be a pretty good honeymoon for me, or whatever, but not my wife. Anyhow, we were doing great. We were carrying on pelotoning and doing well. It came to the last 20K of the ride, and she wasn't doing so well. Kristen's legs were worn out. She was fatigued, and she couldn't keep up to the group. So Ken and I, her husband, saw that she was struggling, whatever. So we dropped back and began to ride with her. And we slowed our pace to her pace and continued just to encourage her and talk and really have a great time. Of course, on the second leg, there's one last huge hill. And of course, during the full second day, it's this up and down, whatever. And you're like, seriously, right? You couldn't pick something flat. You know, but there was this last hill, and it's grueling. And there was just no way. She was just fighting it every pedal. And so what we ended up doing was Ken and I came up beside her and put our hands on her back and began to kind of use our strength and push her up the hill. That we took that burden off her legs so that she was able to get to the top of the hill and finish that ride for the day. We took upon, we yoked ourselves with her weakness and with her struggle and with her burden. Burnt out, exhausted, beat up physically or mentally, any of these is enough for our very life just to be broken and beaten. That about sums up how many of us feel at times in our life. It's hard. I want you to raise your hand right now if you have ever carried a struggle or a burden today. Walking in the doors, do you have a struggle or a burden today, or even in your whole life, have you ever had a burden or a struggle? Raise your hand. Okay. See, life is difficult. And of course, we may have had one, but of course, there's many to come. The burdens and struggles we face in life are not easy. And God's intention for the church is that we come together as a community and walk alongside with each other to carry one another's burdens. Let's examine the command, and then we'll move forward to the application that Paul gives to us in Galatians 6. The command in verse 1, Paul gave instructions concerning our responsibility to help other believers who are stuck in a sin. He says that we're supposed to come alongside them, our brothers and sisters who have sinned, and lift them up gracefully. He says that we're supposed to come along and we're supposed to restore them. And then in verse 2, Paul commands us to bear each other's burdens. The fact that the command of verse 2 follows verse 1 suggests that it is one form of carrying one's burdens together. Helping one another, for a believer to overcome the sinful struggle that they're in, is one way to help. But it's not the only way. Paul's not just implying that. He says that burdens that we are to help others carry, including many assortment of difficulties that we have in our lives. The word used here is a general word that literally means a heavy weight that's upon us. Something that's very heavy to carry was referred to then as a burden. The most literal meaning of this word, bear or carry, is to pick up something, to pick something up or carry it away. Well, I still do, but in my younger years, I used to do a lot of weight training. And I used to be benching 250 pounds. But of course, when I go to bench 250 pounds, I didn't do it alone. I had a spotter to help carry that weight by the chance that I couldn't lift it. So to carry that weight away, right, to have that help alongside us is what Paul is talking about. Anything that we can do to lessen the weight of the load can bless us. We had friends or family that come alongside. This command we have been given, and it's a command that is to be continuous, an ongoing action. It's not a word that says that we do it occasionally, but that we do it continuously in our lives. That there's not a sabbatical that we take. However, in the midst of understanding God's command to carry one another's burdens, I've noticed that there seemed to be a bit of contradiction here. In McKnight's commentary, it was pointed out in verse 2 that carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But in verse 5, it says, for each one should carry his own load. Okay, so which one is it? Am I supposed to look after my own load, or am I supposed to look after someone else's load? The fact is that the two verses are using two different words in regards to bear. Verse 2 refers to a heavy, crushing load where there's no man or no woman can bear it on their own. And in verse 5, it's used to designate the pack, usually carried by a marching soldier. Right? Well, when you first enter into basic training, You're assigned your particular gear, and one of those pieces of gear is a rucksack. And then, once you receive all of your gear in that rucksack, you're responsible for every item that you were assigned. And then you're supposed to carry what you have been given. Right? Numerous times, whatever. There must be some game with them or something like that in the military, because, man, we marched forever with rucksacks on our back. 70 pounds. Whatever. It was always great when we used to eat our rations and stuff like that. We'd lighten our load a little bit. But of course, then we had a sergeant who was a bit of a hard guy. Other guys use different phrases. But he would have us put rocks in our rucksacks. He's like, he says the march is getting too easy. Throw a few rocks in the back of your rucksack. And we were responsible to carry that ourselves. In this case, with the pack, is the burden that Jesus gives each of his followers. That there's certain responsibilities for us as Christians that of burdens or struggles that we will carry ourselves. That it's no one else's responsibility but ourselves. But thankfully, Jesus assures his disciples and us when he says in Matthew, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Tyler sang this in one of his songs this morning. The final thing I want us to notice about the command is that it comes with a promised result. If we faithfully carry each other's burdens, then we will fulfill the law of Christ. This was a sweet point that I enjoyed in this scripture verse. When you ask, well, what is the law of Christ? We conclude from Scripture that the law of Christ is the law of love. The law of Christ is to love one another as Jesus loves us. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another," in John 13:34. My mom was not pleased, or in a better way of describing it, she was outright disgusted that I was going to church. Her experience growing up and stuff within her Christian family, my relatives and stuff, many were pastors, and aunts and uncles were missionaries, and they went to church, and from her experience, and she was just outright against God and the church. So of course, when I started attending, that didn't actually sit very well. This revealed itself many times when I would come home from church, just like today. I would enter the door after having a great Sunday, hearing from God's word, just rejoicing and praising, whatever, and be like, "Oh, Mr. Holy Man's home. We better be careful in what we do or what we say," right? Or be like, "Oh, Mr. Perfect Man's come in, whatever. We got to be sure that we are on our best behavior." That was the interaction that I received coming home from church. Well, it got to the point of like, you know what? In my head, I'm like, oh, I just need to shut her up. So I thought, you know what? To shut her up, I will just stop going to church. But I couldn't do it. I could not say no to going to church. Why? Because going to church was the most incredible, most awesome expression of love that I had ever seen in my whole entire life. The church that I was attending when I started going to church at 17 was Grace Baptist Church here in Calgary. What I saw and what I served or observed was that when people needed help, people were there. When people were hurting, people were there to comfort them. When someone failed, and there was a few people that failed royally in our church, and it would end up becoming public knowledge or whatever, did they judge? No. Came alongside them with grace, with forgiveness, with love, restored them. It was incredible. And I'm like, there's no way I can leave this. This is just too good and too awesome. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Paul summarized it this way in chapter 5, that the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I've kind of repeated that almost like 3-4 times already. But it's so true and it's so powerful in the difference that it makes in people's lives. Bearing the burdens of others is a genuine expression of love and ultimately fulfills everything that God wants us to be and wants us to do. It would be neat actually to stop and pause for a moment and hear briefly some of your testimonies, because some of you are here sitting today because someone loved you. And that's why you're sitting here. So that's the command. Paul gives us now the application. But before we get into specific burdens that must be borne with each other and how to bear them, let's make an important observation here. Christians have burdens to bear. There's a common and popular idea that us as Christians, that as soon as you become a Christian, sweet ride. No more troubles, no more frustration, no more struggles. We have it made. Well, that's not a biblical idea. That's not the biblical truth. The Bible is pretty clear about that fact that Christians will face adversity. In James 1, it shares that consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Yes, it sucks when we're going through those trials. But we're going stronger in our faith, growing stronger in trusting God and believing in His promises for our lives, and truly experiencing that He loves us. We notice that even great people of faith in Scripture shared many sufferings. Job, Paul, we too will carry those burdens and trials in our lives. Our burdens may be kind of, easy at times, different intensities. The burdens will come at us at all kind of different times, all different kinds of seasons. If you recall, in the congregation that we just did right at the very beginning, many of you raised your hands. And understanding that if you look beside you, you can truly understand that all of us carry burdens in our lives. And there's ones that we're supposed to carry on our own, but what I'm trying to get at is there's ones in our lives that we're not supposed to carry alone, that we're supposed to carry together. There's a heartache in every person's life. We all have problems and cares that weigh us down. What are some of those burdens that we may need help with? Sorrow and grief, sickness and aging, emotional difficulties, emotional scars of the past, a difficult marriage, children with special needs or rebellious spirits, unemployment or underemployed. We all know that that's something that's right in our face in the midst of our season right now in our economy. There's a burden of the consequences also of the lawlessness and sinful and foolish behavior. These are just a few that I've shared of burdens that people need help with, that need help carrying. Now that we know what God wants us to do in helping people with their burdens, the question is how? Once we have a heart that is willing to help carry the burdens of others, then two very important things are required to bear the burdens of others. First, we have to know that a brother or sister has a burden. And second, the person with the burden has to be willing to allow us to help them. Coming to realize that someone has a burden requires some very intimate and very personal involvement with each other. That we're building relationship, that we're connecting, that we're open and honest with each other about the struggles that we're having. This takes time and it takes effort. But if we don't take the time to build those relationships, then one thing first is that we won't know. If we're not observant enough or interested enough, then we won't notice that someone has a burden. If we're not spending enough time with each other, we won't have the opportunity to be close enough to help or to hear in that need. All of this requires time and effort to develop relationships. This means that it's a real community. If your attendance is just on Sunday mornings, then you're missing out on the whole complete picture of what the church is all about. Once we have an idea that someone needs help carrying their burden, then that person needs to let us help them. How often are we willing to help others but unwilling to let them help us? Pride gets in the way, doesn't it? You hear the recurring phrase, "It's okay, I got this. But thank you very much. I appreciate the offer, but I'm okay." We feel like we need to do it on our own, or we're embarrassed to receive help, or we feel like our faith in God alone should be enough. We should not just depend on God and no one else. A few months back, Lisa and I ran into a major dilemma at home. Our dryer had gone, and it was going to be a $600 bill to fix the problem. And of course, we didn't make that really made known, but someone had found out that we were in need of a dryer. And so they came and they offered to buy us a dryer. Well, what do you think my first response was? "No, it's okay. We got this. But thank you." We could have someone buying us a new dryer. However, pride got in the way. Well, they didn't accept the answer that I had given them. And they said, "Stephen, we are here to help you with your need. We are going to help you." However, again, they left it in our court whether or not we want to receive that help. So we accepted that. They lovingly said that they wanted to buy us a dryer, and we graciously accepted. And that was a tremendous burden off our shoulders. Doesn't the Bible say something like that? That we should cast our cares upon the Lord? Yes, it does. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Well, one, before we actually even begin to share our burdens with each other, you first need to begin to share your burdens with God first. Because we're stubborn and we're prideful and thinking that we can do it on our own. God wants us to ask for help from him. But then he also wants us to ask for help from others. We should always take our troubles to the Lord, no matter what. And we should trust that the Lord will give us the grace and the strength that we need to endure that struggle, that trial, that burden, and provide for that need. But we should also recognize that God often uses people as agents to help us carry those burdens in our lives. That's why he calls us the body of Christ. That's why he calls us the church. In Acts 2, it talks about how people shared possessions and helped out one another in their needs, and they increased in number. That was the church. God helps us carry our burdens through his people. Paul was tired. He was being harassed around every corner. And he was even struggling with things internally. And God used Titus to comfort him during those trials. I want you to stop for a moment and think. Who has God brought into your life to help comfort or carry your burdens? Have you recently said, "No, it's okay, I got this"? Ultimately, we are God's eyes, ears, tongues, and hands to help each other, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's a hug, whether it's a check, whether it's your tools, whatever it may be, in the simple act of helping to carry another one's burden. So let us be sure that I guess this is the challenge is that you would begin to cultivate relationships within the community of Westview Baptist Church. And I guess in some way, it's not written down here, but it comes to pressed upon my heart, is where Tyler desires for people to be engaged in small groups, not because that's great for him, but it's because it's great for you. Let us love each other enough to want to help those who are burdened. Let us be humble enough to be willing to accept that help. That's how the family of God is supposed to work. We can't take the burdens away, but we can certainly bear with one another. That's pretty incredible. Because truly, I don't think you will find any institution, if you want to use that definition, in this world that carries one another's burdens like the church does. We can lift each other up and make sure that no one is left alone. My platoon was awakened at 2 a.m. in the morning, and we were thrown onto choppers, and we were dumped out in the middle of nowhere and said, get back to base camp. So for 5 days, we hiked. Again, they just want us to hike all over the place. We get back to base camp. However, on the third day, our 2IC, our second in command, right, tore his knee. So, of course, what do we have to do? We had to carry him. And this is on the third day. We still had 2 days of travel left. Well, we didn't know that. We could have had four. We put him on a stretcher, carried him, distributed his rucksack, carried that too. And away we went. Fourth day, one of our other buddies sprained his ankle. Had to take his rack and distribute that and carry him on a stretcher. It wasn't fun, especially when you're one of the stronger guys in the group, because then you're the one left and carrying the thing the whole time. But it was all right. We distributed and carried the gear. And see, if you look around you, we're a very large body right now, and this actually isn't all of us. Could you imagine if we distributed the work among us, the cares and the burdens that we have, how easy, how amazing it would be to be able to get that person, right, through that trial or through that burden? To me, that's a great description of what the church is and how it's supposed to work. So how can we bear with one another's burdens? We should never pass on the opportunity to pray for someone. We should always be willing to give a listening ear and a shoulder to cry on or a hug. I'm not a huggy guy, never. But I know that people appreciate hugs. Right? Hugs are awesome. Don't hug me after the service. Yeah. I didn't see who you are that said that, but be careful. Communicate positive, encouraging words. See, that's what was something that made me stick around church, right? Because people were lifting each other up and were encouraging. Right? What do you observe out in society today? People are hammering each other down. And it's sad to see. The message that has grown ever since from when I was in school to now, but is more prominent, but still takes place today, is bullying within schools. We say that youth group is a safe place because it is a safe place. They're not getting beaten down or torn up. They're getting lifted up, supported, encouraged, and loved. Lastly, look for simple, obvious, and practical ways to help. God's given each of us, and Dale has spoken about this, in regards to the gifts that you have been given. Use them to help carry one another's burdens. There's a song that I want to read for you. It's He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. That might be familiar for some of you. And of course, I like the oldies. This was a single from the Hollies in 1969, but also Neil Diamond, because I'm a Neil Diamond fan. Okay? It's good music, just so you know. So take a moment and just quiet your hearts and listen to these words to the song. The road is long, with many and winding turn that leads us to who knows where. Who knows where, but I am strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there, for I know. He would not encumber me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness, that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road, from which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. He's my brother. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Reading this song and remembering this song reminds me of Jesus Christ. Christ gave his life because we are in need. We're in need of being saved. His act of love and carrying our sin on the cross is a true testament to all of us. I hope and pray that our love to each other is the same, that we are willing to make sacrifices for one another, that we will love each other enough to carry each other's burdens, that our love for each other will cause us to feel that no burden is too heavy to help a brother or sister to bear. I'd like to invite the band up right now. But again, from that song, says, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. She ain't heavy, she's my sister. I would like to invite those who are doing communion to as well come up. But as the band comes up, let me read for you Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9. And you can open up your Bibles and look there along and follow along with me. Verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.